Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger.
In most murder investigations, there's a moment where the cops knock on the door, ask a question, push a little, wait for someone to crack. But in the Brian Koberger case, none of that happened. They didn't knock. They didn't ask. They didn't need to, because by the time they showed up with handcuffs, they already had the map. From cell tower data to surveillance video to genetic genealogy, law enforcement in this case built what might be a very airtight digital case in recent memory, probably one of the best. And they did it in near total silence. No press leaks, no suspect interviews, just layers of technology, patterning, and restraint. It started with a knife sheath found next to one of the victims that produced a single trace of DNA. Not a national criminal database, but enough to trigger forensic genealogy. From there, they followed a digital echo, a car seen on footage, a phone that went dark during the murders, but lit up just before and after. A set of license plates quietly switched out during the investigation. And through all of that, not a single knock on Koberger's door until the arrest. That's not just good police work, that's calculated. That's pressure from afar. And in this episode, we're joined again by former FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer to break down how law enforcement built this web and how they did it without triggering a single defensive move from the suspect until it was too late. We'll talk about the role of the FBI's Behavioral Analysis Unit, how agents read absences like a dark phone as clues, how seemingly minor details like swapping license plates or overly cleaning a car becoming a huge red flag under behavioral scrutiny. We'll also dig into the psychology of what it feels like to be watched without knowing it, and how that slow, silent pressure often reveals more about a suspect than direct questioning ever could. Let's talk about how you catch someone who thinks they're already outsmarting the system without them realizing they're already in the trap. Let's talk about the investigation a bit. This is an interesting one. This is one where they didn't sit down and question him. What do you know about this? It was an immediate arrest. Once they knew at least who they thought was their guy early on, they came in and broke the door down at his parents' house in Pennsylvania. In a case like this, how rare is it to see a case to be this tight without ever interviewing the suspect, without ever having any sort of, you know, conversation with mom or dad or people next to him before they go in and make that arrest. That must show that they were very, very confident from the start that this is their guy.
Yeah. You know, when you have a case like this, first of all, you can imagine the fright that gripped Moscow, even though early on the messaging was, no, there, nobody needs to be worried mm-hmm. about this. This is just a targeted event, right? Mm-hmm. And then slowly the truth really came out. And I think they just, their messaging was so horrible. As many of us said, listen, you have somebody capable of killing four people out there. This community is definitely not safe. And certainly the FBI knew that and law mm-hmm. enforcement knew that. And so the full court press and the ability of them to really put this case together with a approximate 20-page probable cause affidavit, which was just part of the evidence they had. They went in there strong. Remember, too, they received very special from the judge. They received the special ability to go in even before the normal hours of a hit, what we call a hit, right? At mm-hmm. 6 a.m., they went in before that. And this is very rare. And it shows that they very specifically were so concerned that if they didn't have surprise and speed and violence of action, that, in other words, they couldn't call him out. They didn't want to go out when he was awake and could perceive them. He could take hostages. He could kill his parents. He could kill himself and his parents. I mean, there were so many terrible scenarios when everybody really looks badly and says, why was this a huge SWAT operation? Well, that's why, Tony. Mm-hmm. They needed to get in and on him quick. They did try to interview him. And initially, he started interviewing with them. And then he shut it down and asked for an attorney.
Really?
Yes. Yep. Right away, they tried to interview him. And there were... there was a spontaneous utterance made immediately upon arrest where he said yes. words to the effect, did you arrest anyone else?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's been huge speculation. Mm-hmm. Remember early on, everybody thought, oh, there's a co-conspirator. Some people thought, no, that's a ruse. Bundy had done a similar ruse. Mm-hmm. And then I really thought he was worried about his parents, mm-hmm. like harboring him. That's kind of what I lean toward. But I think any of those, the latter two could be possible. Also him, you know, throwing out the ruse. But I really thought he might've been concerned about his parents, the fact they could that be harboring. But yeah, they did a very short interview and then before he invoked his rights.
One thing I wonder about with that, as we now look back on everything, and now we're going to see more that the gag order has been lifted, is did Koberger try to steer the investigation anywhere else? Obviously, they only had the knife sheet there as far as his DNA on it, and now we're learning more about that footprint. But other than that, there wasn't a lot to go on from the beginning. And the fact that he's asking, was there anyone else? It does make you wonder a little bit. Did he have the foresight in this to try and point them in another direction? Obviously, he was trying to do that a bit. If, in fact, that was Papa Roger on Facebook that was saying, oh, the Honda might be a red herring. was that a little too late to the game to try and steer the ship? Or I wonder if there was other things that were there that I don't want to say were missed, but were picked up and the investigator said, yeah, that's not evidence. That's somebody that's trying to steer us somewhere else.
Well, the Papa Roger, right? I mean, certainly if that was him, he was trying to lead and brag and be grandiose and, just like BTK did. Mm-hmm. And just like many others have been done, Zodiac and many others, they love to be able to taunt mm-hmm. and to just revel in what they've done, only not been caught for. So the Papa Roger always made a lot of sense to me, but we'll see. You know, still, we don't really have that answer. I think we're going to get the answer. I don't think that's something that they would withhold the metadata concerning the IP address for that. At one point, I know that source reporting from within side, you know, was that definitely it was Papa. But since then, there's been other, posts that have come out that many sleuths have said, see, this is Papa again. I don't know. We're going to find out whether he was Papa or not.
I don't know how it couldn't be. I don't see how it couldn't be, or I guess someone communicating with him. That's the only other thing I could possibly think of, which I think that's a whole other road that there's no evidence really to go down, but how else would you have a caricature of yourself that looks pretty much exactly like you putting out information that nobody knows, and nobody knows what you look like at the time? That just, I don't know. It just seems to defy any sort of logic, that it could have been anyone other than Koberger. But at the end of the day, it still plays into the pattern of behavior, whereas BTK was trying to put letters out into the Wichita Eagle through a floppy disk. He's doing the more modern thing and putting it out there on social media. Are you surprised that the criminology students, in 2022, was too stupid to realize that there's IP addresses and that these sort of things can be tracked, which I'm sure has probably already been done by now, just not publicly released as of yet?
Well, you know, am I surprised? No, I just think he thought he would never get caught. You know, there's always this delusion of grandeur that these criminals have. Mm-hmm. They really do believe they're the smartest guy in the room and that they have their tracks covered and that nobody's going to catch them. But, you know, he put out two odd posts also, one to do with, as I recall, an election and another school board election, I think it was, and another one. I actually contacted the people. I went down this rabbit trail, every single post he made. And I actually ended up getting into contact about one of the posts, and it never made sense because one, I think, was a California deal. It was a political deal. And then there was another one, I think if I recall right, I called Missouri on. So there were some weird posts that Papa sent out at the same time that really made no sense. So was that an attempt to divert into other directions? I just always found it fascinating. And no matter who Papa ends up being, he would be the number one person I would want to interview on my podcast, other than if it's Brian Koberger, because I would never want to interview him.
It makes you wonder if maybe that was, again, post crime, trying to steer the narrative, maybe a little bit of, overstepping, if you will, too, realizing, okay, well, I left the sheath. Maybe I need to press the gas over here a little bit harder since I messed that part up. I don't know. Anything seems to be possible in this as we're still learning more and more about it. You can tell a lot about someone by how they react to pressure. In Brian Koberger's case, if the timeline holds, what we are looking at isn't just an alleged killer. We're looking at a man who may have realized far too late that he was already surrounded. Because while he was switching license plates, cleaning out his Elantra, and driving across the country with his father, the FBI was following every move, quietly, remotely, waiting for the moment when they didn't just have a suspect, they had a case. What Jennifer laid out today makes it clear. This wasn't luck. This was methodical. Investigators didn't corner him with a spotlight. They closed in like a fog. They gathered video, tower pings, genetic matches, movement patterns, and in many ways, the most telling evidence wasn't what Koberger did, but what he didn't do. Turning his phone off, changing plates, avoiding known surveillance routes. These weren't random choices. They were behaviors, strategic behaviors. And they told a story law enforcement quietly collected line by line until it was solid enough to move without blinking. What's wild is that Koberger should have known better. He studied criminal justice. He understood investigators, kind of. He'd have known about digital footprints, about car tracking, about cell phone data. But it's one thing to know the system. It's another to believe it applies to you. And that's where it seems the plan unraveled. Not from carelessness, but from overconfidence. He underestimated how quietly a case could be built and how powerful data becomes when you're trying to live invisibly in the digital age. And yet, for all that's known, there are still things we haven't heard from him. No confession, no explanation, no why. And that silence, that blank space in the middle of all this behavioral evidence, it still haunts this story. There's a lot more to come as we continue to break down evidence that has continued to pour in, especially now that the gag order has been lifted. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of that. We're going to be digging into the conversation, talking about that void of motive, into the survivor accounts, the roommates, the texts, the trauma that unfolded around the murder, and what was said or left unsaid in the hours before the crime scene was even discovered. Because catching someone is one thing. Understanding how others lived through it is another. Let me know what your thoughts are in the comments section so you don't miss any of our coverage here on the program. Be sure to press subscribe. And wherever that is, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, hit subscribe. And like I said, if you want to join in our conversations here about this case, do check us out on YouTube for that. Until next time, for all of us here at the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for watching.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.